God's Word is alive and powerful. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us with principles from the Scriptures that will deepen our faith.
What would happen if we treated our Bibles like our cell phone? What if we carried the Bible around in our pockets and purses? What if we flipped through our Bible several times a day? What if we turned back to get it when we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? Unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because Jesus has already paid the bill.
God's Word was written to produce transformation in our lives. As we respond in obedience, it will radically change the way we live. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our message today is designed to challenge and stretch you spiritually. No matter where you are in your Christian journey, God wants you to discover the peace, faith, strength, and joy that only He can give. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of today's message.
No real building ever takes place in your life spiritually unless you're truly building upon the right foundation. And the right foundation in the Christian life is the very Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction. God has given us His Word to be the foundation of our life. I think about the fact that you never get to a point where you don't need the Word of God in your life. On the way to church tonight, my wife was quoting to me her Bible verse that she's going to say to her partner tonight for Bible memory. And she was reciting the passage that she had learned. I won't give her age. I'll tell you she's been saved many years, more than 40 years, but still memorizing the Word of God, still growing in the Word of God. And God's Word must be the foundation if we're going to build a superstructure spiritually. Now, I think about building programs, and we've built a good number of buildings. But always, the foundation is so vitally important. It's always inspected. It's always filled with rebar. And they always make sure they pour the concrete at the right temperature. They want the foundation to support the superstructure. And tonight, I want to speak to you on this topic, the Word of God and the grace of God in our hearts. The Word of God and the grace of God in our hearts. I happen to believe that it is from the abundance of the heart that a mouth speaks, that a life is lived. And I believe that if there's garbage in, then there's going to be garbage out. I believe that if we're going to live the Christian life in the way that God designed it, then we must learn how to have God's Word and God's grace and God's music permeating in our hearts. I heard about a pastor who said, to a young man, do you know what's in the Bible? And the young man said, well, I think I know everything that's in it. He said, you do? Tell me. The young man said, well, there's a picture of my brother's girlfriend. There's a ticket from the dry cleaners and a pizza coupon. And that's about what many people know is in their Bible. They use it to store stuff. They use it to write some notes here and there. But God says in His Word, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so oftentimes we know about the Bible, we have a Bible, we hear lots of preaching about the Bible, but it's not doing what we see in this text tonight. And I want you to look at verse 16, which says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Notice tonight as we approach this subject of the Word of God and the grace of God in our hearts, notice first of all, God calls us to be filled with the Word, to be filled with the Word. And this implies more than just kind of hearing it or kind of casually knowing some things about it. It speaks to the fact that we're to be permeated with the Word of God. Notice it says in verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. So we notice, first of all, that it is commanded to us. The word let is in the imperative mood. It is a command that we let the Word of Christ dwell in us. Not just a passing thought here and there. not just a few principles, but that we allow God's word to permeate within us. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So it is commanded that we allow the word of God into our life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. It is a command to every one of us. Now, many religions, Christian religions, and many churches are growing farther and farther away from a Bible-centered ministry. Many are entertainment-orientated, and many are involved in different social activities. But whether it's from this pulpit or whether it's in your personal devotional life, God commands us to be biblicists and to have the Word of God central in our lives. I've been around a lot of churches, a lot of preaching, and I'm thankful for churches that have a right doctrinal statement. But I sometimes fear that many members who've been in the ministry for years could not show someone else how to be saved, or the eternal security of the believer, or whether there's a heaven or a hell, what's wrong with lying or stealing. And we know these principles. We kind of have the moral kind of a direction in our mindset, but we don't really know how to go to the scriptures and really defend our faith or really teach our children, because it's not dwelling in the way that it should. So it is commanded that we let the word of God dwell. Notice, secondly, it is a constant. The Bible is to be constantly in our lives. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It is to dwell in, it is to influence us. Just as we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit, just like an alcoholic is filled with alcohol, he's under the control of the alcohol. God says, I want you to be filled with my Spirit. I want you to be filled with my word. I want my word to dwell in you. George Mueller was a great preacher and a great prayer warrior in England in the 1800s. And George Mueller said, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I remember as a young man being involved in a ministry called the Awana Clubs, and it was a Bible memory program. And I remember, I don't know how many verses I memorized to earn the Timothy Award the night I got that big trophy. And growing up in Christian school and memorizing passages of Scripture and passage after passage, and then getting into Bible college and having to memorize the book of Titus, the book of 1 Timothy, and quote them. And don't ask me to quote them all just perfect right now, word for word. But I'm thankful to the Lord for the foundation that was placed in my life. I'm thankful for a mother that came to my bed each and every night and read the Bible to me and prayed with me. I'm thankful for the preachers that taught me and preached to me from the Word of God. God says, I want this to dwell in your heart. Oftentimes, I'll have in my pocket a 3x5 card with a verse that I'm memorizing. Every morning of my life, I write down many verses of the Bible for my devotions, because I find many times that what comes from my hands that I write, I tend to retain it just a little bit better if I write something out. Why do you do that, Pastor? Because I need to have the Word of God dwelling in me. You don't get to a point where you've memorized a certain number or you've been saved a certain length of time and you don't need to keep it fresh. You need to keep it fresh every single day. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my what is the next word? My what? And my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, God says there's a connection between an effective prayer life and an effective Bible reading life. In fact, we oftentimes don't know how to pray as we should unless we're reading the Word of God. So we must recognize it is a command and it is constant. And then thirdly, I want you to see it is complete. For the Bible says this, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now notice this phrase, richly in all wisdom. The Word of God dwelling in us richly. The Word of God abiding in us richly and abundantly, completely saturating our hearts, permeating every aspect of our lives. There was an evangelist years ago, they called him Gypsy Smith. He was saved out of that particular type of background. He told a man who had received no inspiration from the Bible, a man who said, I just don't get a lot out of it. He said to this man, he said, even though you've been through it several times, this man said, I've read through it several times. Gypsy Smith said to him, let it go through you once, then you'll tell the difference. Amen. Let it go through you once. A lot of people say, I've been through it several times, but have they let it go through them? Have they let it dwell in them? You know, I love Bible reading programs, and I'm using two different ones right now. One where you read straight through, and one where you read Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and then something from the New Testament. But let me say that if you get into the mode of just trying to read quickly to get through or to keep up, many times, while that's wonderful and you're going to get some things from it, but you may not be letting it dwell in you like you need to. Let the Word of God dwell in you. Meditate on it. I know this is an old illustration. Some of you have heard it before. But out on the farm, especially the dairy farms, they tell the story, and I've seen it myself many times, where a cow will get out there and just eating the hay and eating the alfalfa, and that cow will get a big old cut inside of its mouth, and after a while of chewing, the cow will swallow it down into its throat and down into its digestive. But then after a little while longer, the cow will burp it all back up and start chewing on it again. Like some of you guys did at dinner tonight, you can relate. And just kind of chew on it a while, and then swallow it down a little bit, then maybe bring it back up and chew on it just a little while. Now, that may be a gross illustration, but God says, I want you to chew on it a while. I want you to really get a hold of what I'm trying to tell you. I mean, if you've got to look up a parallel verse to add understanding, if you've got to get a Bible dictionary, if you've got to ask your Sunday school teacher something, but whatever you need to do, let it dwell in you and get the meaning of it. In all wisdom, the Bible says here, wisdom is the ability that the Word of God gives to us to live our everyday lives. James 1:25 is in your notes, and it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, notice the next phrase, the next three words, what does it say? And continueth therein. Let's say that together. And, right? God says, I want you to look into the perfect law of liberty. I want you to continue there and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So God says, I want you to let the Word of God dwell in you. The Word of God dwells in you when you hear it. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. The Word of God dwells in you when you handle it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God says, I want you to handle it properly. It is dwelling in you when you hear it, when you handle it, when you hide it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. When you heed it, James 1:20, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Author Jerry Bridges wrote this, discipline toward holiness begins with the scriptures. With a disciplined plan for a regular intake of the scriptures and a disciplined plan for the applying of them in our lives. Now you say, well, Pastor, I've been saved 40 years and I've been to services of all kinds, and we see it all the time, people that kind of start attending a little less here and a little less there because they've been at church a long time. You show me the person that's been saved the longest time in this church, get them away from Bible preaching, Bible reading, Bible application, and they are as prone to fall into sin as anybody else in the world today. You see, every one of us need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. So we are commanded to be filled with the Word of God. And I'm simply saying you can't have too much Bible. Every once in a while you hear somebody say something stupid like, he is so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Well, let me tell you what, I've never met that person yet. I've never met someone that's too heavenly minded. I've met a lot of people that are too earthly minded, and so they're no heavenly good. But I've never met anyone that's too heavenly minded. How many of you understand the book of Colossians commands us that we're to seek those things which are above? Look at that in verse 1 of this passage. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So we're to be filled with the Word of God. Secondly, we're to be faithful with the Word of God. Now notice what it says here. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then notice the next part, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another. Now, one of my favorite parts of fine arts competition is when the young people get up and preach and when they teach. And I always try to write a letter to all the young men that preach. Even I don't care if they won 19th place. I'm just proud that they did it. I remember when my boys were in here preaching, and some of you dads, and I'm not putting you down if you can't, but boy, if your boy is preaching, that is a big deal. Man, if you can't be here, you ought to get it on video. You ought to take that boy out for a steak dinner and congratulate him. Do you know how much nerve it takes just to preach a sermon? Do you know how hard that is for a 14-year-old boy to create and craft a sermon? And Brother Chapel and several others have been helping these young men. They've been preaching along the way. If you've got a son that would stand in this pulpit and preach during this competition, you are a blessed man. I don't care if you don't make $5 an hour. You're a blessed man if you've got a son like that. And I love it when these boys do that. And I love it when the girls teach lessons. I remember Christine one time, I don't think she's in here so I can tell a little story on her, but she was supposed to teach a lesson. I don't know if she was about in the fifth grade or seventh grade, and she stood up and she said, "My name is Christine Chapel," and then she started crying and that's all she could get out. And she didn't get a ribbon that year, I'll tell you that, but the next year she did a little better. But I'm just saying it's a wonderful thing when someone gets something in them so much that they can't wait to get it out. You let it dwell in your heart, and then you want to teach and admonish somebody what you've learned. 2 Timothy is probably my favorite book of the Bible. And I preached through 2 Timothy, I think it was about 21 years ago, and I wasn't going to finish through it because I never had preached 1 Timothy. And it's just, it's going to get in me. I can tell it's already in there. And it's if you know, some of you, you'd read it tonight, and you'd probably say, "What in the world? It just says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to Timothy, my son, grace, peace unto you." But I'm going to tell you right now, there's some good stuff right in there. And you let it dwell in you, and then what I find, people want to talk about what's dwelling in them. People want to talk about it. They want to talk about maybe basketball players because it's dwelling in them. You can tell what's dwelling in someone. People sometimes want to talk about maybe their boyfriend or their girlfriend, because that's kind of what's all over them, you know. People want to talk about their hobby. They put it on Facebook and on Twitter because that's what's dwelling in them. That's what's kind of become their passion in life. But God says, "I want my word to be your passion. I want you to have so much of me in you that you can't get outside very far without telling somebody else about me. I want you to let it dwell in you so that then you'll be faithful with it." What are we to be faithful doing? Notice, first of all, explaining doctrine. Explaining doctrine. Notice the word there, teaching. Now, I was talking to some young people this morning that are going to go out and represent our college about some of the differences with West Coast. One of the great things that we have at West Coast are not just part-time people that drive in, teach a few hours of the same old hashed over things, and then back home and then back in. We have teachers that live here, they're in town, on the campus, all afternoon to help the students at West Coast Baptist College. And they are reviewed, every teacher in this ministry is reviewed by an outside reviewer every year, and comments are given to the administration. And then we sit down with the teacher and we evaluate them, and then we evaluate their syllabus and we make sure that they're using proper materials and that they're growing as a teacher. Because it doesn't matter how many times you've taught something. There may be a new method. There may be another way to get the truth across. And we do our very best to constantly be improving. And teaching is a wonderful privilege to be a teacher. But here the Bible commands all of us to be teachers. And that we're to teach the doctrine of the Word of God. Now, to teach the truth of the Word of God involves explaining doctrine. How do you do that? Well, you impart the instruction of the Word of God. Notice 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Notice this. For instruction in righteousness. Now, I don't care if you're 12 years old. If you'll open the Bible and if you'll spend some time in the Bible and if you'll let it dwell in you, you're going to get something that you can tell someone else. There's something that you're going to learn that you can tell someone else about the Lord. And so it's for instruction in righteousness. It's to instill doctrine into another person. Notice Titus 1:9 in your notes tonight. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So you're able to take the truth of the Bible, the doctrine of the Bible, and to exhort and to convince. Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then you can explain the word of God. Luke 24:27, and began at Moses and all the prophets. He, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So when you are filled with the word of God, you can be faithful to the word of God. You ever wonder why there's so many cults and denominations? It's because many of them were founded by people who were not filled with the word of God, but they just got a little piece of a passage and they twisted it to say what they wanted to say. And because of that, many millions of people perish without the knowledge of God tonight. God says if you'll get filled with the word, rightly divide the word, and if you'll compare scripture to scripture, then you can help others to know. You can be faithful in the word of God. There are many different kinds of preachers that have come to preach for us, but always Bible preachers, because we want to know what the Bible says. Notice, secondly, we want to explain doctrine, and then we want to be exhorting about danger. Exhorting about danger. Now look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching. We just talked about teaching doctrine and principles, but now notice the next phrase. And what's the word say? Say it one more time. And? Admonishing. Now, the word admonishing means to warn, right? Now, I don't want to just be a preacher that's just against stuff. I want to be for stuff too. But let me tell you something. A part of being a pastor or a parent or a teacher is to warn people about things that can hurt them. And that's what this word admonishing means. It means to warn. It means to exhort. Admonishing is the negative side of teaching. Admonishing is showing someone, if you do it this way, it's not going to be a good result. I was speaking to this young lady this evening, my wife and I, and witnessing to her. She told us she was engaged. And I said, you know, it'd be so important for you. Her mother just died of cancer, and she's 30 years old. And I said, it'd be so important if you could come to church, and you need to get premarital counseling. And I like to talk to your boyfriend to make sure he's saved, that he knows Jesus, because he can't be the right leader. And I said, I just want to warn you that the Bible teaches us that how can two walk together except they be agreed? And I just want to challenge you that you'd consider that principle, because I've seen a lot of marriages not do well when there was what the Bible calls an unequal yoke. And I was just talking with her, and I was admonishing her. Her father left her when she was young. Her mother passed away. And listen, we may not always like it, but we need the admonishments of the scriptures, okay? And so we need the teaching, and we need the admonishing from the word of God. Now, a classic passage on that is right here in your notes, 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And then notice this, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Let's say that together. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, I told the core class last Sunday, I said, now, after 30 years of preaching here, I have discovered everybody likes to be exhorted. Good job. Everybody, I like that. Everybody likes that. The reproving and the rebuking. You sorry rascal. Not that we'd say it always that way, but the reproving, not everybody wants that. But you see, there's the positive and the negative in the teaching.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.